welcome to episode 9 of the Music Man Project podcast. My name is David Stanley, known as the Music Man, and I run the Music Man Project, the charity which promotes accessible music education across the UK and around the world for people with learning disabilities. In this episode, we talk to the Music Man Project's musical arranger, the amazing Al Steele. Al is one of the most accomplished and versatile musicians I have ever met. Whether playing, composing, arranging, recording, or producing, Al approaches his work with professionalism, enthusiasm, and most of all, expertise. He is equally comfortable in both the classical and popular traditions. In my recent blog, I described Al as a guitar-playing, singer-songwriting music producer with a passion for Gustav Mahler. Finding Al was just the boost I needed in the early days of the Music Man Project. He continues to be a source of inspiration to this day. It can be lonely coming up with all these new ideas, new music, and trying to convince people that they will be as popular as the last. I think human nature dictates that every new and unfamiliar piece of music is met with a degree of pessimism. But Al puts music and musicians first. He is a true collaborator. Working together never feels like a financial transaction, but a joint project that is fun and beneficial for both of us. Whether driving hundreds of miles to record and rehearse, working on arrangements throughout the night, or spending all day with us at London concerts, Al always goes the extra mile to get the job done. His kindness and commitment to our charity has been truly remarkable. I no longer worry whether my music will ever be performed or recorded. I can focus on writing without fear. Everything in my head can finally be realised by someone who not only arranges my compositions for any kind of band or orchestra I desire, but who understands my musical intention. I've learnt a tremendous amount from Al, particularly the difference between arranging and composing. Now, our collaborations have been many and varied, including the Music is Magic charity single, our wonderful first show, the debut at the London Palladium in 2015, the studio recording of our first album, Music is Magic at the London Palladium 2017, the Music is Magic show live at the Palladium, and of course, our arranged, orchestrated all the music that we performed with the Full Symphony Orchestra at the Albert Hall last year. But on top of all that, Al is just a really great guy. I hope you enjoy my interview with him as much as I did. Right, well, I'm delighted to be joined by the genius that is Al Steele, everyone. Welcome, Al, to the Music Man Project.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for that welcome.
Well, you see, because it's you, I added strings to my piano introduction there just to give it a bit of extra oomph, because you are a wonderful musician and have been a fantastic help to the Music Man Project over the years. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to start off by thanking you, Al, for everything that you've done for our charity.
Well, it's been a great pleasure. I mean, every project that we've done has always been exciting. It's always been one of the highlights. It's been hard work, but yeah, it's always been, one of the highlights of my year whenever we're working on a project.
Well, that's good.
Thank you for that.
That's good to know. So just taking the listeners back, we probably met for the first time around 2013, 2014. And that was, yes, back in the day where Jenny Hitchcock, music director for Essex, was trawling through Twitter as we were trying to find anybody that could help us grow. Because, as you know, I've always had this dream that the Music Man Project would be a big thing, performances at, yeah, the Royal Albert Hall and all across the country and all that. But we had really no way of achieving anything like that. So we just thought we'd find if we could find anybody to help us. And Jenny stumbled across Dan and Laura Curtis. So tell us, how do you know Dan and Laura Curtis?
Well, they just came to the studio. They lived at the time in Caerphilly, so they were really local to us. And they were just looking for somewhere to put a couple of simple songs down. Now, if you know Dan and Laura Curtis now, me saying Dan and Laura Curtis and simple songs don't go together.
No.
But at that point, they were really just doing a couple of simple songs, piano, maybe a bit of guitar. Occasionally, they'd put a bit of drums on.
I see.
And then all of a sudden, they said, we are going to do an album. And they got on board such heavyweight musical theatre people that just from all over the world. And they approached them one by one to do these big orchestral songs. And we put like 8 songs together. The album was for Children in Need. Mm. And by the time I think they've recorded all of them, they'd managed to get all of the individual artist fans on board. So they'd gone from like 1,000 Twitter followers to 20,000 Twitter followers
yes.
in a year.
Tremendous.
And then the album went to number one in the musical theatre chart here and in America.
Wow.
So all of a sudden they were on the map. And yes. I was doing all of their orchestral arrangements for them.
Wow. And so we were then invited to hear some of these songs, weren't we, at the Elgar Room at the Royal Albert Hall.
At the Royal Albert Hall, that's right.
Because they had agreed to help us. They were very enthusiastic about our work, and they said that they would be patrons. And then Jenny and I turned up to the Elgar Room, sat at the back, listening to these fabulous songs and these wonderful performers. And then I glanced across, and there was this guy really rocking it with his guitar, with a big grin on his face. And Dan and Laura sort of said, you need to speak to Al Steele. That's Al. And it was you.
That's right. And I think we actually met at that point. I don't remember the meeting because we met a few people. But yeah. I think you and I actually met at that concert very briefly. I think we were introduced.
And I remember on the tube on the way back with Jenny, and I said to her, God, I think this is what we need. My music needs an Al Steele, because it was clear to me that the sounds, the mixture, I think you had some live instruments and click tracks and backing tracks that you were mixing yep. in as well. And you just created this enormous emotional rollercoaster of music. And I thought, this is fantastic. And, you know, as I said, I think in my recent blog about your work, that up to that point, my music from a sort of composing point of view was kind of all there, but it was never able to go to the next level. I could never get it recorded or produced or arranged properly. And so it was always sort of at this sort of, yes, I can, but I don't know how. It's going to take a lot of extra time and money and or expertise that I don't personally yeah. have. And it was all that. So having somebody to orchestrate, arrange, and really produce my music to a standard where it could fill the Royal Albert Hall, which obviously we did together many years later, was just sure. amazing. And it was just like this bolt from the blue. And I remember saying, my music was waiting for Al Steele. I think it's great.
it's a funny thing, isn't it? Because if you went back maybe 30 years, the only way that you could have put an orchestra on a piece is to physically hire an orchestra and record it. It would be enormously expensive.
Yes.
But because of the magic of technology these days, it can be done in a recording studio.
Yes.
And without it being stupidly expensive. So I think that's what we hit upon, was this multi-tracking orchestras.
Yes.
And that's kind of the way we've approached it, isn't it? I mean, we've ended up with a real full orchestra,
yes.
which is fantastic for the Albert Hall. But the recording process is a build-up process of it.
And from our point of view, it enabled us very quickly to convince people. I don't know if that's the right word, but you see, a lot of people, you know, outside of Essex, if I said, I'm David Stanley, a composer, and I want to perform this music at the London Palladium or Albert Hall, or I want to sell this CD, you know, they can't take my word for it. I'm not Andrew Lloyd Webber.
No.
They won't just sort of say, yes, because you are this person, we will believe you and invest in you. So to have some mock-up recordings very quickly that could be turned around and to show people as demo tracks, that was a really, really valuable part of the process for me.
Yes. Yeah. It's essential, isn't it? Because you can't just say to people, I know this is just piano, but this is going to sound amazing
yes,
when it's
exactly.
a full orchestra.
That's right.
Most people can't really imagine that.
You know,
that's what my job is as an arranger, is to imagine yes. what it would sound like with a full orchestra and then physically write the notes.
And traditionally, sorry, go on.
That is something that you can't leave to people's imagination. You have to actually show them. You have to actually
That's right.
play them the piece.
And what I always thought naively was I'd show them the music. I'd sort of show them, you know, my piano vocal scores or even a mock-up of some other things and say, well, this is what it's going to be. You know, read the music. And people that had the money and the power or the producers or whatever of big of venues and theatres, they would say, well, that means nothing to me. I mean, in fact, and I know lots of singers that would say that means nothing to me as well. And so, you know, you really have to go through that, the level of production, to get it to something where it will make, you know, general, the man on the street, lady on the street, will understand it and want to invest in it, you know. So,
yeah.
So, Al, it's been a wonderful journey. Now, Al, I remember once we were in a restaurant very near your home in beautiful part of Wales, called Caerphilly, we sat down, and I remember thinking, I said to you, do you speak Welsh? And I think you turned round and said, not bloody likely, mate, I'm from Australia.
That's right. Well, I just kind of ended up in Wales, really. You know, I came across here when I was a kid, came across when I was 11, but was in Scotland, Sheffield, London, and just kind of ended up in Wales.
Yeah.
And it's been a nice area to live, and it's quite self-contained. You know, Cardiff has its own TV and radio stations, got its own BBC. So there's quite a microcosm of work there. So, you know, I see no reason. I mean, these days, the internet has made everything global. So no reason to be anywhere else, really.
And you've got your studio there, of course, which is brilliantly named Shabby Road Studios, which is fantastic. No one's ever going to forget that. And from there, you know, what is your sort of daily work then? What does it include? Because you're a hugely diverse musician, but what is it generally do?
Every day is completely different from each other. I mean, I could be sitting down to write something. I often do that at home. Mm. I sit and just write on my writing software at home. And then sometimes I'll be bringing that into the studio to add it to existing instruments that we already have there. Mm. Sometimes we add... It is fake, some people know what this means, as MIDI fake instruments, and then gradually replace them. Sometimes we use a mixture of both. In your case, we've used all real instruments for everything, which is a great fun and great luxury.
Yes.
But that's one side of it, is the writing big arrangements and taking them in and bringing them to fruition. But the other thing that we do very often is we'll do a four-hour session with a songwriter where they'll come in with maybe just a guitar and voice, and we'll end up with whatever we decide to put on. And that might be five guitars and 20 vocals and drums and bass and keyboards. And we'll kind of build it up within 4 hours. That's kind of what we do so much of, is working with songwriters. Mm. And that's great because it's you never know what you're going to get. You never know what the song's going to be like. I actually discourage people from sending me in the songs early. I go, just no, bring them in on the day, because whatever ideas I have on the day, you know, if I hear it 2 weeks earlier, I have lots of ideas, and by the time we get to do it, I'll have forgotten them. I tend to just work on the day with people like that. So that's a great thing to do, and that's what we do an awful lot of, is just working with songwriters, whether it's small projects or huge ones like yours.
Sure. You know? And one of the things that always strikes me is your as I say, the diversity of your musical background and what you bring, because I know lots of things that you do. I know lots of other people that kind of do that, but you manage to do all of it. So you can come. What I've said in the blog recently was that you're singing, you're songwriting, you're playing the guitar. Okay, so I can say, right, Al Steele, kind of a rock pop culture musician. Got it. And then you tell me you have a passion for Marla, and then I can chuck at you a piece of music, and you'll know the theory behind it, the harmonies, what's going on, how to arrange it, and you can put it in for an orchestra, and it will sound classical. It's that huge range, and I'm really interested as to how that happened, because, you know, my own musical background is pretty classical. Studied piano, went to some really good conservatoires in London, university, all that. And then did analysis, and it's all gone that way. And my other side of it is a theatre organist, so there's that sort of slightly popular side of it. But apart from that, you know, I'd be lost basically playing keyboard in a 70s funk band or something. But you seem to have all of that. How did that happen? And were you taught any of this, or did it just sort of grow?
No, I came from in the opposite background. I could have started out exactly like you, because the first instrument I played was piano. When I was about eight, I had like 3 years of piano lessons.
Yeah.
I think I got to grade four piano in the end. But yeah. I really didn't enjoy it. And at the same time, we had guitars around the house. So I taught myself guitar after that. I wasn't reading on guitar or anything like that. It was just really picking up chords and song sheets and just playing whatever I could. Mm. When I came to this country and I left school, I joined a rock and roll band first, and really was rock and roll, you know, like 60s rock and roll.
Yeah.
And just then other function bands, and I really had no inkling of classical music whatsoever. And I bumped into someone who became a friend who was a pure classical player. I was just happened to be doing a gig where we had strings on it. Mm. And I said, I don't know anything about classical music. Can you send me a compilation tape of all your favorite stuff?
Wow.
And she did. And it was really, you know, across the board, everything you could possibly imagine. There was some of it I was thinking, I just don't connect with that. And there was others I did. Mm. The first that I really connected with was Mozart.
Yes.
And I listened to it and thought, wow, that is just sounds like musical perfection.
Yes, yes.
And I'd like to know how he does that. So, you know, I think there were maybe, I kind of settled on a few composers that I kind of analyzed a little bit. And that turned out to be Mozart, Beethoven, Mahler, Shostakovich. I looked at other people as well, but those are the ones that I really went into depth, and I bought scores, and I pored over them. I made millions of notes. I tried to understand how Mozart could write four bars that were so perfect. I tried to rewrite them myself, and they'd sound like a real hack.
Yeah.
And I go, well, how did he do that, and why? You know, and so I tried to understand that, and then I tried to work that into my own songs, and that was more just for practice than almost anything else, trying to actually write these lines in. Now, at first, I really didn't understand harmony, and I think this is probably when I was about 30 years old or something like that. I kind of really didn't understand harmony, but my ears were obviously working well enough, because all the decisions that I made still sound good to me now. But I know I did one particular arrangement, and it took me a month to do. And I thought, this is just not the way to do it. I need to know how to do it properly. So I bought myself the famous Walter Piston Book of Harmony and started to read it through. And I think I never, ever did get to the end of it, because by the time I got to about chapter 9, I was too busy arranging strings for everyone.
That's brilliant.
And as every arranger will tell you, that once you've done quite a lot of it, you start to find your own style, and instead of the arrangements controlling you, you then start to control the arrangements. So instead of going, oh, I haven't got any instruments left, I'll have to play it on French horn, you somehow in your mind you manage to control the orchestra rather than it controlling you. So I got to that point. It probably took about 10 years to get to that point, and an awful lot of sweating. And there is no shortcut. You know, some people say, hey, tell me the secret. I think you're withholding the secret of how to do music from me. But the secret is you just have to struggle and learn from the best. You know, if you can learn from the best, which, you know, my best were Mozart, Beethoven, Mahler and Shostakovich.
Not bad role models. I mean, that's a real insight, actually, because we talk a lot about this stuff, but I haven't heard that before, about that process that you went through. And actually, quite late on in life, if you don't mind me saying, you know, if you're still in your 30s or whatever, really. But that really is interesting that inspired you and you learnt. I know what you mean about the struggle. I've been there myself as a composer, actually, and sort of working things out, because for me, I was always very happy improvising. But the process of really taking that improvising and creativity spontaneously actually then to a compositional process and writing it out and then editing and changing and adapting, and that length of time, that was a struggle for me. And it's much quicker now than it used to be. So then, obviously, we've been working together for a while, and then we had these two shows at the London Palladium, an album together, and then the big one last year, Music is Magic at the Royal Albert Hall, when I got to hear my music arranged by you for a 60-piece symphony orchestra performed at the Albert Hall. What was that like?
And that was amazing, wasn't it? That was just, I couldn't believe how brilliant that all sounded.
No.
When we eventually got it together, and when when we went through those rehearsals,
oh,
and just hearing the orchestra coming into shape and going, oh wow, that actually really, that does sound as good as Marley, you know.
Yeah.
it was amazing. But
I know, I remember that the first couple of rehearsals, again, you traveled all the way from Wales to be with us here in Southend. And particularly when Liam, conductor, started taking it apart and working the orchestra, I mean, it's good to know it was as exciting for you as it was for me on that day to hear all that coming together, because it was amazing.
It was so illuminating, wasn't it? Mm. And it was particularly watching Liam work.
Yes.
And I've often said this about him. He's the nicest guy you'll ever meet who will not take no for an answer.
Yes.
So he would just work through them and go, no, can we try it again? Can we try it again? There's this shorter pose, yeah, let's do this. And he would just work through them meticulously until they got what he was talking about. And when they played it as he wanted them to play it, It sounded exactly like it was in my head when I wrote it.
Well, and quite.
You know, hopefully in your head when you were writing the song.
Well, no, not just that, even better. I mean, that's the point. It was exactly. And I was sort of thinking, gosh, maybe I should have been more clear in how I wrote that so that it sounded like what Liam did. But of course, Liam, as the conductor of the orchestra, is that missing link, isn't he? You've got the composer, and then you have arranged it, all that music for orchestra, and then it's the conductor who brings the composition and the arrangement to life. It was just so fantastic. And I feel so blessed because I found two people that completely got inside my head and gets the whole idea of the music that I write for the Music Man Project, the energy behind it, the as we say, more is more. You've really got to push it home expressively so that it means something to the students with learning disabilities. And both you as an arranger and Liam as a conductor, everything aligned on that date in April last year. And it was just the one most wonderful musical experience of my life. And I know it was good fun for everybody else that was there too.
Yeah, that was a life-changing gig. I mean, that's one of the only times, it's certainly the only time I've really worked with a full orchestra doing my own arrangements. I've done a few gigs with orchestras before, but it's always been doing like, you've got to play the solo from Bohemian Rhapsody or something like that. And that's my input into it. But to hear notes that I've physically written, you know, come into life like that was...
And not just a few notes. Al, you wrote thousands of notes. I think you did a Facebook post at the time saying how many you'd written for the two-hour show.
I can't remember what the number was. Was it something like 140,000 notes, I think, for that concert? I think it was around about that.
So, and it was every single one was perfect in the right place. So it was just wonderful. And I think actually that I don't think there was maybe one note that needed to be changed after the rehearsals. I think
that there would be perhaps four notes that were wrong in the whole show. If I was doing my job right, there would be. And I think there was, because you conducted the first rehearsal and we did the first half. And we found two wrong notes in the first half. So I figured, I extrapolated that through and thought, there's probably going to be another two in the second half somewhere.
So that's blimmin' good going. No, I mean, it's great. And we must do it again. We must get to the Albert Hall once again. Goodness knows what's happening. I mean, at least with your work, it's diverse enough so that you can be working in your studio. We're working on a new album together and new songs for the Broadway show. But in terms of big productions and concerts and performances, we just don't know when the arts world is going to be back up on its feet.
No, indeed. I mean, the whole of the music industry is almost at a stop. I mean, I must say that I'm not at a stop because lots of people are still having ideas and they're sending them to me and I'm doing them and sending them back. And in fact, we are working on things at the moment, aren't we?
We are.
You're sending me things and I'm working on them and sending them back.
It's lovely.
But the majority of people can't gig. You know, teachers are trying to teach from home, you know, but there is so much stuff that is just at a standstill. All theatres closed.
Yeah.
You know, all pubs closed.
Yeah.
So, you know, zero gigs. That is, you know,
that's
never
shocking.
Known that before.
No. But, you know, we will get there. And as all the listeners know, before we return to the Albert Hall, our next ambition is to perform on Broadway. Goodness knows when that's going to happen now, but we will keep working towards it and trying, because I think that'll be another... another wonderful moment to go to New York, bring these songs to a new audience in a new country, and fulfill another ambition. I mean, so just to finally, can you tell me what it's been like working with our students? Because you're well known to all of our musicians, and as you know, they've all got learning disabilities. Have you been surprised by what it's like to work with them as musicians?
The very first time that we came down, because I think I came down to one of your rehearsals, and this was before the first Palladium gig.
Yeah. Music is magic, recording, I think.
I couldn't believe how focused they all were, yeah. And how the things that they were doing were what I could never have expected.
No.
And then we did that first gig, and some friends of mine came, and they said, we expected it to be good, but we didn't expect it to be that good. And this is a good friend of mine. He said, I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
He said it was one of the most uplifting concerts I've seen in my life.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was amazed. All of the people that I've put in touch with the project over the years have mm-hmm. all been amazed, and they all say it's life changing, and they view things in a different way, and they view disability in a different way.
Mm.
That it isn't something that you just go, well, there we are, that's it, nothing can be done. And this is your whole philosophy, isn't it?
Yeah,
high expectations. Nothing can be done. There yeah. is so much that can be done and still yeah. needs to be done.
Yes, absolutely. And you've been an absolutely integral part in telling our story and really making the change out there on behalf of the students. So just to conclude, Al, thank you so much for everything you've done again. And thank you for being a wonderful guest on the Music Man Project podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. And I'm sure we will speak and do many, many things again very soon.
And you probably know that every week on the podcast, we do play a Music Man Project song. So we'll have to. In fact, that's a good question. If there was one song that you have arranged, what one would you like to play on the podcast?
Oh
God, that's a good question, isn't it?
It is a good question. There are so many different ones, aren't there? There were some brilliant ones from some of the musicals that yeah. you've done. You've got to say that the classic where we started with Music is Magic, you know, yeah. that song is still just sounds marvelous every time we do it. It's still marvelous, and I've got to say, you wrote a classic there. You really did.
Well, and credit to Jenny as well for her contribution with the lyrics as well. We co-wrote yeah. those. We will definitely play Music is Magic, the original charity single recording back from in 2015, as Al's choice for this podcast. Al, once again, thank you very much.
Lovely, thank you. Cheers, David.
Well, now let's listen to Al's first arrangement of one of our songs, and probably our most famous. It's called Music is Magic.
It opens up your heart. Feel it and use it. It touches every part
of the world we hold dear, bringing loved ones ever near.
'Cause music is magic.
Our student guest this week is Claire Alderton, Music Man Project UK ambassador and original Saturday Music School from almost two decades ago. Claire sang Music is Magic on the track you've just heard, and then again at the Royal Albert Hall in our Music is Magic concert. Claire also received the Charles Colwick Award for Progress, presented in memory of our wonderful friend Charles Colwick. Enjoy. How are you, Claire?
Yeah, you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. Missing everybody. Are you coping?
I'm missing you too.
Oh, bless you. Now, this is a podcast, which is just like a radio interview, Claire. So it's not okay. It's not live. You know John, who plays the bass, John Webber, on Fridays?
Yeah.
I send it all to him, and he edits it, which means puts it all together and misses out anything that we go wrong, and then he produces a special radio show for us, and you're going to be our star guest. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, be lovely.
Right, so I'm going to ask you some questions, and we're just going to have a general chat, okay? Here we go.
Yeah.
Are you ready? So stand by. Ready? Well, now, I'm delighted to welcome a famous Music Man Project UK student ambassador. It's Claire Alderton, everyone. Claire, welcome to the Music Man Project podcast.
Hello, David. How are you,
Dave? I'm all right. Let's do that. Hello, Claire. Hello, Claire. Hello, Claire. And how are you today? Claire. Oh, so yes, here we are in lockdown. You must be missing everybody.
Yeah, yeah, I'm missing everyone, and you too.
Now, as I said in your introduction there, you are a Music Man Project UK ambassador. And what that means, yeah, for all our listeners, that means that not only have you been with the Music Man Project for a very, very long time, one of our original students, it also means that you go around the country with me showing other people how to do a Music Man Project. So you become the teacher, don't you?
Yeah.
And we've been travelling all over the place. We've travelled up and down the country. We've also flown, haven't we, to Scotland and
yeah,
also...
Yeah, we have. That was fun.
It was fun. And Northern Ireland, I know we've been there in a plane, and all over the country. You're a wonderful student. But
thank you.
You're quite famous as well, Claire, because last year you sang Music is Magic at the Royal Albert Hall as the solo verse. How was that, Claire?
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
It was so lovely.
Were you nervous?
I was nervous, but I really liked it.
Yeah, you just went for it. Because you know there were 3,000 people watching you sing solo.
Yeah, I know. It's so good.
It was good fun. And you sang it very well. And Claire, at that concert, you were presented with a very special award, weren't you? It was the Charles Colwick Memorial Shield for your great work.
Yeah, I was so surprised at that.
Were you? And that must have been very special because for those that don't know, Charles Colwick was one of the original Music Man ambassadors. And he sadly passed away a couple of years ago now. And he'd missed the Albert Hall, which was, of course, all of our dream for a very long time. So we presented one student at the Albert Hall with the Charles Colwick Award for their progress and overcoming challenges. And Claire, you received the Charles Colwick Award. And that was because of your... Yeah, it's because of your excellent progress and overcoming challenges and things like that. And I think that was very special, wasn't it? Because Charles was a good friend of yours, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I miss him so much too.
We all miss him. He was one of the original ambassadors and one of the original students from Essex. So it was really fitting that even though he couldn't be at the Albert Hall to perform, he was there in spirit, wasn't he? He was looking down on us all.
He was there in spirit, yeah. Yeah.
So well done. And Claire, how are you finding lockdown then? Because you're not at home
really,
with mum,
really
are you?
Really badly. How about you?
Well, it's okay as long as I keep busy. But I was worried about you because, of course, you must be doing really well because you recently, not too long ago, you moved in to your own home, didn't you? And it's more independent living. And you've been doing really well with that. But nevertheless, it must be difficult because you haven't been able to go back and see your family, have you?
No, No, no.
And how have you coped with that? Has it been all right?
I found it really quite bad the first few weeks of it.
Yes.
But now I've got used to it.
Well done. And, of course, you can do Zoom sessions, can't you, and FaceTime, so you can keep in touch with your mum and your sister and your dad that way, can't you?
Yeah.
And has that been good?
Yeah, it's good. My dad's coming for a visit today.
Oh, that's good, just to see how you are.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you can tell him all about this, the fact that you've been on the Music Man Project podcast.
Yeah, it'd be lovely.
That'd be great. Well, that's really good, Claire. And what are you looking forward to doing then when everything's back to normal, when we can go back to music? What are you really excited about?
I could be really excited about going back to Music Man to see all my friends.
Yeah. Good. And singing all those songs. What's your favourite Music Man song?
Music is magic.
Music is magic. Go on then. Let's reprise then. Pretend we're at the Albert Hall in front of 3,000 people and you sing me the first verse. Here we go,
yeah,
Claire. Ready? And... Beautifully sung, Claire. Well done. It's nice to recreate that moment. And Claire, have you been watching lots of our videos and live Facebook sessions on MMP Wired?
Yeah.
And what have you thought of those?
It's so good.
Yeah, you've enjoyed it, have you?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, well, is there anything else you'd like to say to all your listeners and fans before we finish?
I love you all.
We love you too, Claire. Thank you for being a wonderful ambassador. And thank you for being a very special guest on the Music Man Project podcast. Let's do a goodbye song. Goodbye, Claire. Goodbye, Claire. Goodbye, Claire. You did well today. Well done, Claire. I look forward to seeing you again soon when all this lockdown is over. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Music Man Project podcast. We would like to finish, as ever, with that lovely performance of our theme song, Music is Magic, featuring Gemma Andrews on flugelhorn. Thanks to my producer, John Webber. I'm David Stanley. Till the next time, it's goodbye.